This is The Next Turn, the home of conversations about skiing, ski racing, and sport. I'm your host, Martin Wilson, and thank you for joining us in the pursuit of better, to be better athletes, better coaches, better parents, and better fans. This week, a conversation with Sophia Goggia. Welcome back to The Next Turn. It's great to have you back here. As always, I am really happy to have Jeff Vibert and Kara Williams by my side. Kara, how are you doing?
Awesome, Martin. I'm so enjoying this second season. And I just want to thank our listeners for listening, liking, rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you find this podcast. And for those of you who've reached out to us, we'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts today with us at thenextturnpodcast.com.
Thank you for that, Kara. I appreciate that. Jeff Vibert, how are you doing, man?
Hey, buddy. I'm awesome. Any better, I'd be twins, actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, let's get to it. Here we go. I'm pretty excited we have Sophia Goggia. Jeff, let's get to it. Why don't you give us the hard facts on Sophia?
Sophia Goggia, born November 15th, 1992 in Bergamo, Lombardy, Italy. Made her World Cup debut in December 2011 at the age of 19. She competes in GS, Super G, and downhill. And since 2016, she has amassed 32 World Cup podiums. In 2018, she won the Crystal Globe in downhill. 2021, Crystal Globe in downhill. 2018 Olympics, gold medal downhill. And all this fighting through three ACL surgeries, tibia plateau fracture, fibula fracture, compound fracture of her left arm, and another compound tib plateau fracture in 2021, the year she won the Crystal Globe.
What an absolute beast, huh? Thanks for the hard facts, Jeff. Kara, what's the story here? What's the story with Sophia Goggia?
Oh man, Martin, I get so attached to our guests. Sophia Goggia is a force majeure, however you say that in Italian. As Jeff said, she's won it all and she's had some major setbacks, but what you'll hear in this conversation is her incredibly unique perspective on everything, including her injuries and what she as a person and an athlete needs to perform at her best.
Awesome, Kara. Thank you very much. I can't tell you how excited I was and how great it was to talk to Sophia. It was a real thrill. So here's our conversation with Sophia Goggia on The Next Turn. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this, Sophia, especially knowing how busy you are in the thick of things with training. So we find you in the midst of a block in Copper right now, right?
Yeah.
You've been there a week, yet there for another week or so?
Yeah, that's it.
Lots of speed training right now at the Copper venue. How's the track holding up and how's your body holding up?
Yeah, my body's feeling good, actually. I really recovered well from the last injury occurring me in January, at the end of January in Garmisch before the World Champs in Italy. And I've been working hard as every time in the summer. And yes, I'm feeling good. I'm in a good shape. I have enough strength and enough power. So a lot of skills are required and I have them.
Nice. Do you feel that you're still in the mindset of that you're returning back to snow, or you're healthy, full go, you don't have to make any adjustments. You just got to get to your peak speed right now.
Well, actually, I have my thoughts are the same as always. I'm not like thinking, oh my God, I got injured last year, so I have to be careful on this turn. No, the only thing that really remained in my mind is the way I crashed that day. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to free skiing and maybe the slope is not so well groomed or there is some extra snow on the slope, then I feel like I have some go still, but not on the course, luckily.
You use the term, you have ghosts. When you look back at, you got your ass kicked a few times over and over again with injuries. I'm looking at 5 or 6 major injuries over the last 10 years. How do you keep coming back and pushing back? And just talking to you already, it seems like that's no big deal. Is that how you approach injuries? That they just happen and it is what it is and you move forward? Or do you take time to refocus or make adjustments after each rehab?
Well, actually, I'm pretty much lucky because I cannot say I'm totally fearless, because as a human being, of course, everyone has some fears and it's something really common in human beings. But I think that I always came back, and sometimes also like stronger than before, because I knew that the injury was the consequence of something emotional inside of me. So I think that the body can like be hit, but what you have to heal the most is inside of yourself. And I always look at the roots of the injury and try to work hard to be a better one, to overcome it, but inside of myself. So once I made all the rehab path and the athletic path, and once the test says that, okay, you're healed up, you have no pain, and you can do all the thing as before, then it's up what you have inside. And resolving it really helped me through this.
Can I follow up with that a little bit and ask you to explain that a little bit more, how you just like get to the root of it? What is the root of an injury or an accident or something like that? What is it you're trying to repair?
Actually, I do think that when it comes to top athletes, sometimes you hear about some athletes that gets injury all the time and some athletes that instead doesn't or never get injured or just minor. And I think that for me, of course, there are some times in which the forces are so bigger than the one you can like keep that you get injured. But sometimes I think that the injury comes from some conflictual emotion that you have inside of yourself.
Do you feel
that doesn't get you like so? I'm not talking about focus. I'm talking about the presence that you have in every action you do.
God, I love that. You're a wise woman already. I like this. Do you think that your approach to coming back from injury is unique to you, or is it specific? And maybe this is a good way, you know, Karen and I were talking earlier about your relationship with Lindsey Vonn, and she's someone that's gone through a beating in her career. And you two are friends, correct? And if that's the case, do you feel like there's similarities to somebody like that who can take a beating and come back up? Or is this your unique way of dealing with it?
I have like a unique way to get back from this, but who has maybe my same emotional structure probably will approach the injury the same way I always did. So I still don't know anyone doing that, but that's it. Maybe Lindsay, when she was coming back from the last injury, she had like the same approach because she knew how she could ski and she knew she had already enough experience to handle every situation. So she knew she needed just a few to get there. And this kind of awareness, this kind of consciousness really helps you to get back. But I don't know any girl who is like fearless as I am, probably.
That checks out. Kara, you want to hop in?
Yeah. Hi, Sophia.
Hi.
You talked a lot about the power of the mind. And for instance, you said that you didn't feel like maybe you were in the best physical shape when you won the gold at the last Olympics, but yeah, the fact that you felt calm and relaxed, that made all the difference to you. So how much of your success or success in general, or I guess just confidence going into big events, depends on your mental preparedness and not just your skiing ability?
Well, yes, you're right. At the Olympic, I was really in a bad shape. I had really a knee hurting, and for me, it was pretty much difficult doing the stairs or going from the hotel to the ski room, which was upstairs, because I feel like I felt like my knee was really swollen and I felt like a kind of soreness every time. But I knew that when I put the boots on, I was there and I could ski and I could do all the turns in the way I wanted to. So for me, this was really the only thing that matters. Sometimes we deal with a lot of stuff that just take you out of energy. And I knew that at the Olympic, I had just to be focused on how to express the better me on the course. And when you're just full focus on one thing, there is not space to let the other things in. So I was really focused and mental aware of this. And coming back to your question, I do truly think that the mind is everything. The mindset is really everything. And you can overcome your physical pain or your physical lack, but if you want something and you're focused on it, then you'll get it.
As being an athlete, you know, like you spend a lot of time in the gym working on the physical side. You spend a lot of time in the tuning room working on the equipment piece. But you talk about how important that mental piece is. What do you do to specifically to train that? Like, or is it just, I hope today is going to be a good day, but I got to think that you've got a plan to work on this mentality.
I do think that discipline is key and consistency is key in whatever you do. But I work for sure with on the mental side, but I work more on the people I am also without the skis rather than working on what I have to do before the race, because that's my job and I know I do it and I'm really good in doing it. But what I do need is to work on my person, on Sophia, the girl without the skis, because I got at a really top level as an athlete, but sometimes you are so focused and the time flies so fast that you just cure the little details for the athlete. And then you arrive at a certain time and you say, but where am I? If I don't have the skis now, who am I? So you have to like to, I'm not saying being as a top athlete as the same level that you reach as an athlete, but you have constantly to work on who you are and on your personal structure. This really helps you out to be a more consistent athlete and to be a more power people.
High five to that. I love that answer. Thank you. Mm. Kara.
So yeah, that was an awesome answer. And I when I think of you without, you know, before I ever spoke to you, I thought of like talent, technique, and bravado. I think you said that's the Goja way. And you're such a big personality in front of the camera.
Well, sorry, what is the third? A technique?
Talent, technique, and bravado.
Bravado?
Bravado, like showmanship, like, you know, being a really animated in front of the cameras and being...
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know this word.
But, and that's how you come across as a really big, fun personality with a lot of energy. But I understand you're a bit of an intellectual as well. Like you do a lot of reading and I do too. And for me, it's a way for me to sort of quiet my mind and reset. Like when things are crazy, that's my favorite thing to do. My favorite place to go to. Is that how you find your center, or are you able to go somewhere, whether physically or mentally, and calm your mind and sort of offload your stress?
It's quite a complicated. The question is easy. The answer is pretty much complicated for the girl that I am. But actually, yeah, I love reading. I love studying, and. Since we had the first lockdown, I started to play the piano. It was something that I used to do when I was a kid, but Of course, when I was a kid, I had school, ski, tennis, swim, and playing the piano. And then I started to lose all the pieces, just school and ski remain. I didn't know what to do. And it was like, for the first time in my life, I had 2 months for myself, not doing anything. I knew that out of my home, there was a tragedy. Also because Bergamo was the most hidden city of all the Europe, so for COVID. And it was a tragedy. But it was really the first time I had time for myself. And I had no schedule and no program. And I said, I would like to learn something new. Because you have always to learn something. Every day and also every month. And you have to grow and to evolve yourself. So I said, I'm going to take a piano. And then when I'm like in anxiety or when I don't know what to do, even though the time is pretty much like restricted and the schedule gets you from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. And I go and try to play the piano. And I have also like, I brought here in the U.S., a pianola. So I'm looking at it right now in the living room. Even though right now I'm in my bed. And so I learn new things and I really do find a lot of similarities with skiing because you have to read the melody and transform it, pushing like the taste of the piano. And your two hands has to move differently, all with notes and also with speed. And it's pretty much like the same in skiing because you have to see the slope and understand what demands you. And then you have to understand the best strategy. And so this really, for me, is a passion. Then I love to read, but I'm also at the university, but it's really hard in the spirit to give any exam. But I'm doing political science in one of the best universities in Italy, at Louis in Rome. And they're the best because they promote the dual career as the American system. And they're like the pioneer in Italy doing that. So I'm really glad they took me. And when I am at home, I love to stay in the nature with my dog without any phone. No reachable is nowadays luxury for me.
That's really cool. A couple things there. I just want to talk about that last part about you shutting off your phone. Is that something that you do just because you need the space, or is it just a good habit that you have, or is it because I need that getaway? I need to be off social media for a while.
Because we all need to get connected more with ourselves rather with a phone or all the others. Otherwise, we don't have time for ourselves. If we don't know what to do, then we'll pick up the phone and look at what's new on Instagram. So, like, imposing yourself not to have your phone, like, with you every day at every hour, it's great. It has happened to me that sometimes I was, like, in a hurry and I forgot the phone at home. And I said, in the first minute, I felt like I was lost. And then I said, it's so cool because I have a schedule and I can get there and I'm not reachable. Sorry, guys, I'm not reachable. And I just can't be focused on things. At the traffic light, I'm just going to look who's passing by, walking, or the other cars. And not because I'm just stopped in the car to look on the socials.
That's a good answer. I guess that's why it was so hard to peg you down for an interview. I appreciate that now. Thank you. Can I go back into your development? I remember reading that you called your shot, like when you were 6 years of age, you decided that's you wanted to be a skier. You wanted a profession in the ski industry. Yeah. You wanted to be an Olympic gold medalist. It's pretty cool when a dream lasts that long. Can you talk about, though, how that dream has sort of changed, evolved, or has it stayed the same? Like, do you think about what you want out of this sport the same way now as you did when you were 6 or 16?
When I was a little, you see the big champion winning at the TV. And so they become immediately your idols and you want to be like them in one day. And of course, the path is pretty much different rather than what people think. It's not like a linear line, but it's really made of a lot of, it's not how they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more difficult and complicated. Mm-hmm. But of course, when you're little, you dream of it and it seems so clear and everything's so bright. And then during the path, you come along with the injuries and the first difficult moment and the dark period because you evolve. You're not a kid anymore. You become a girl, a teen, a girl. And then you start to be a woman. And so it changes, but everyone here in the World Cup is trying to be fast, to ski really fast and to ski their best. And of course, if someone asks me, what do you dream for your life? And I say, well, I could like dream something in a few months, to get something in a few months still. But we know that also this sport is full of variabilities. So maybe the first 5 numbers has sun and then it comes a really a Fantozian cloud, which covers you the visibility, and it's a race in the race, another race in the race. So the dream is always there. Of course, you grow up and you try to just give the best you can give every day. Nothing more, nothing less.
That seems to be enough most of the days. I guess this, you've won an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
Did that feel like a relief that you won it? Did you feel like once you have that and you've dreamed of it since you were 6, how do you dream of another one? How do you change that dream to want it again and want it more?
Because the best way, I think that the best way you have to honor your dream is to dream them still, even though you accomplish them. I think that, and well, at the time in the Olympic, for me, I had like consciousness that if I win or not the gold medal, the people had told me, the people that are in my art would have loved me the same way. And this really gave me so many strength. And I was really calm on that day. Because Olympics for me is Olympic Games. So it's a game. Let's play it. You have to change the paradigm and the view. And I know everyone is going to push you to put on you so many expectatives, so many thoughts, so many pressure. But it's there, not yours. It seems to be really easy saying it like now.
I bet it does.
And it was easy already to do it also 4 years ago. But the path that I made to think like that and to feel myself like that was harder.
Do you think of yourself as a big event skier? Like what, the bigger the event, the more in the line, the more advantage you have because of your calmness or presence? Am I wrong to assume that?
I am one of the kind that I always like gave my best in the days in which you have to be there, which you play for something really important. Because I don't know, that's my mindset, and I'm glad of this. and I always said of myself, sometimes for me it's harder to go up the stairs where I live in Bergamo rather than to climb a higher mountain. So this is a paradox, but it's me.
Hey, were you like that at a younger age in your teen development? Like if you could go backwards and think of when you were 8, 10, 12 years of age and you were starting to compete as a ski racer, did you feel that you have the same strengths now or then that you do now? They're just more mature?
I'm just more mature. Of course, I'm like much way older. And it's a path because maybe when you are young, you have more energy, but you spread them also out and you don't like canalize them and you in where you need. I'm wiser for sure. And of course, the older you get, the smarter you have to work because you cannot like afford yourself to push as hard as you were pushing like 5 years ago because of injury, because ski is a really hard sport for your joints and you get old really faster. From a season to another one, I feel like my body has something different. So I have to stay on top, understanding with my team what's the best for me and the best way to get there, not using common path.
Can I ask about that a little bit? You're part of the Italian team that's got a bunch of strong women on the team right now and really successful women. And any given day, any Italian can win any event, or so it feels. But you talk about the individualism of it itself. What's your role in making your schedule, and how does it work in the other moving pieces of the Italian team? Like there's you, there's Marta, there's Feder, there's plenty others, but how do you interact and how do you go solo and what goes into that decision-making process to make your plan?
Actually, okay, we are a group, but everyone is enough clever to understand that everyone has to be focused just on their path only. So we are in a group. Okay, we stay together, but everyone has his work to do. So we're really like good in dividing the two parts. That's it. Plus, I have a private team at home, not on skis, but for the like surrounding activities, like physical, mental, dietologist and blah blah blah, and then I have the federation, and when I am with the federation, so every time I am on skis, I just stay with the federation stuff and I never do bring anyone from the team I have at home. So I want to be covered like 24 hours with the best path I can have.
The outside world often wants to pit women against each other. And when you first emerged as a serious contender in the World Cup, Lindsey Vonn was at the top of her game, which was incredible to watch. And where I'm sure mainstream media would have loved to hear some trash talking, you famously like bowed to Lindsey when you first met her. And you've gone on to document your friendship, and so is she. You guys share support for one another. Even when you were rivals and competing head to head, because I'm wondering two things. Was it a mentor-mentee relationship, or did you simply just respect each other's send? And now that Lindsey's retired, is that culture of mutual respect still intact on the World Cup for you?
Yeah, actually, we grew up with her, and she was our idol, actually. And everyone would have loved to be like one day as Lindsey Vonn, first of all. Then she was really, I have never met a champion as Lindsey that was winning with low hands and few seconds ahead second. Looking and at all the result of the race, getting to know the new gowns, the rookies from other nations, she had always an eye on everyone. And she knew the day in which she crashed in Schladming on the World Championship. For me, it was the first call ever in World Cup. Because I was really doing good in Europa Cup. And the other girls of the Italian team didn't get the criterion for the qualify. So they called me. And it was actually my first Super G. and the day in which she fell was the day in which I rise, because I got fourth and I didn't know anything of how a World Cup race, a world championship would mean. And we had like really a common, there's a kind of contract that is not written, but it's common from athlete that has suffered the same way for injuries that gets you really in common. And I think she knew that I struggle really much. And I knew exactly what she was like coming through. And so she always respected me, and I always like dreamed about Lindsey Vonn. And then I got my first picture with her on 19 January 2015 in Cortina. And then race by race, I get there. And then on the Olympic season, it was really a hard, lovely fight between the queen of all the time and me.
What goes the queen of all time and me? I love that. What goes into that friendly fight?
Lindsey was really clever, and she knew that the rivalry was from the star gate until the red finish line. Sometimes instead, other girl may think that the rivalry is 24 on 24 hours. And that for me is no go. Because we can be friends and enjoy something, also coffee together.
Yeah.
So. Oh,
what is your biggest. Yeah, that is refreshing. What is your biggest asset, strength when you're in the start gate? What gives you the advantage in your mind over the other 15 girls in the first seat? What goes into your belief system? What are you really good at?
I'm really good at breathing with my technique, clearing up my brain. And when I get on the Stargate and the girl before me just started, I look down, I visualize in my mind for a last time that it's going to be maybe the 1,001 time that I visualize the slope. Mm-hmm. I get that there and I say to myself, in this moment, I am here. Just like focus on who you are, what you're doing. And I just go,
that sounds pretty easy to do. But if that's all about calmness and being peaceful, when I see you ski, it doesn't look calm. It doesn't look peaceful. It looks aggressive. It looks a little bit insane. It looks a little scary. And it looks really fun.
Yeah, because I have to find my... I always say that ski is expression of your character. Okay, it's expression of who you are. As everyone, in every job, everyone do, I think. It's a sport or the way a swimmer swims rather than the other one. It's expression of what you have inside. So I have to stay calm to express myself. But the calmness that I find doesn't mean that I'm going to ski calm, because I'm not calm as a person. But I have to find peace before letting go. Let me express myself.
Can we go back again and tell me your evolution of how you got to thinking that way? Because I think that is a brilliant way of thinking. Like, the first thing I don't have to do is be calm so I can unleash my rage or my energy elsewhere. How did you get there? What were the points in your career from a young girl to where you are as one of the fastest women in the world now? What are the steps along the way that helped you realize that?
I actually don't know what to answer, but I always been like that. But the more you grew up, the more you get conscious of yourself. So it's like you get conscious of your weakness and you get conscious of your strength points. And so you have just like, in a sort of chirurgical way, understand the best way. When you are a kid, you are like, what you have inside is like a melting pot. okay, you have everything, and then you just try to schedule yourself. So I always had this character, and it's part of my genetic blood. But I just try to canalize what I know about who I am.
How do you go about gathering this information and using this information? If there's a bunch of experiences that have got you to this place mentally, I got to think with equipment, you've got a lot of data on training and the physical side, and again, the equipment side. How do you gather all this information and how do you use it? Do you journal it? Is there spreadsheets involved? How do you absorb knowledge the best way you can so tomorrow is a better day?
Just because you want to raise the bar and be better than who you were yesterday, I think.
Do you track that information though? Like, do you have a diary or a journal?
Yes, I have a diary. I have a diary, but I have a diary more to write on paper what was my day, because I know that I'm going to forget something. Instead, if you put it on, like, with the ink on paper, then it's fixed somewhere. And some passages you cannot, like, they're in the diary and you cannot, like, forget about them. Even though you would forget about them without the diary, is that you can find the passages there.
What kind of stuff is in there? How are you talking to yourself? Is it harsh? Is it kind? Is it
critical? I just write what I did in the day, how I was skiing, what was my relationship. What I don't have any schedule. It has to come from yourself. Like today, I was like, I know for sure that I'm going to write something about the darkness, because we had like the third session and it was pretty much late. And when you ski in the afternoon, sometimes the snow isn't white anymore, but it becomes like light blue and you see nothing. You don't see how the terrain is. But the more decisive you are, the better, the more safe the skiing is going to be. But your instinct doesn't want to push. You want just to ski down and save yourself. But I made my best run there without seeing where I was going on how was the snow. I made my best run. And I said to myself that everyone is scared about darkness. But if you find the courage to deal with it, and to trust yourself in darkness, then the outcome will be exciting and great. So, of course, this day I'm going to write about this on my paper.
Again, it sounds really easy to say, right? Yes. That this is really a tough situation. I need a lot of courage here. How do you muster up that courage when it's really tough? Do you count on your teammates? Do you count on your coaches? Who keeps you in check? Or is it Sophia, Sophia, Sophia?
Of course, I have like my guardians. But the most, it comes from you. The others can also say to you to do something or to act in a certain way. But the one that can do your path is you and you only.
How do you use your guardians or coaches or support staff or team or whatever we're calling those guardians or whoever they are?
How
do you call on them for help?
They can all give me some pieces of the puzzle. And when I feel like I have to work or I need one certain piece of the puzzle, I go to the one that can help me to get this. So like if I have a problem on my skis, of course I'm going to talk with my ski man. And if I feel like I didn't understood so well a certain passage in the slope, then I'm going to talk with the coach who is covering this part. So I'm like using, and taking advantage of everyone for the peace that they can give me. Respecting them always for the people that they are before the the coach or before the role that they get through their job.
Listening to you talk about that, it seems like, you know, you said earlier that you try to go into every new day trying to be a better version of yourself, and all these people are contributing to that. And can I ask you about the Olympics? Because I know that you were thinking about it. What would you say you know now that you might not have known 4 years ago?
What I know now, that in the end, it's you who create. You need a lot of people around you who gets you through everything and who help you. But at the same time, it's you who can really give even more values to their work, because you are able to do something that they can't. And the light is you and not the other. And it's within yourself. That's what I know for sure, even more.
I'm going to take it from there and go one further. How do you do that specifically going forward, looking at this season? You've got Killington next week, a place that's treated you pretty well.
You are too ahead. It's the secret is to think day by day. The secret is, I think, to count on every step you do, but at the same time, with the guardians that I've been talking before, having a smart vision. Isaac Newton once said that he could see so far. It was because he put himself on the shoulder of the giants.
That's the first time we've had an Isaac Newton quote here.
So this is one of my favorite quotes, and that's it. I really do love it.
How do you take the independence and ownership that you have and give that away to your guardians? I trust that they have the bigger picture, the longer term plan. I trust that all this is being taken care of so I can focus on the day. How did you establish that setup with your guardians, with your coaches, with your team?
Because you have to look in the same direction with the people you are surrounded by. And so there is your coach. Your coach does a role in which you delegate this part to him so you don't think about him this. Then your skimmer does this, and your physician trainer also this. Then you have your physiotherapist. And you like give a part of your thoughts to them, and them like a little bit like problem solver, I would say. And so you can be focused just on skiing. I know that tomorrow I'm going to have a downhill session, but before tomorrow I'm going like in 30 minutes in the gym, and then I will have to cook my dinner and maybe also before the physio. So you never know. You have really to live in the moment.
That's a great way of thinking of things. It's hard to do. Like I find a lot of athletes, the longer they go in their career, the more of that they take on. They want more decision-making over every little detail. And I find it really fascinating that it seems like you're going the other way. I'm really trusting these people to go with it. I've given them my information. I've got my job to do, but they've got their job to do. It's just a really interesting way of thinking.
Yeah, otherwise you don't trust the people you are working with. Or if you think about too many things, that means that you have not enough people that are thinking what's the best for you at this time, I think. And of course, sometimes we discuss in a hopefully always constructive way. But the important is that we are trying to give the best for me and for reaching our goal, our common goal.
Mm-hmm. What's your level of confidence in yourself, in your team, and that setup right now compared to where you've been in other parts of your career? Do you feel like
I'm feeling like aware of who I am and what I want, and the way also I ski, and I had not this awareness in some parts of my career. In some instead, I had, so it's like a sinuous line, and now I'm going up.
So you feel that despite all these injuries, you know more now than you've ever known before, and you're more prepared than you've ever been before?
Well, of course, as a personal growth, I am, because I've been working pretty much hard on myself. And I know that the key is always, is for me there, because physically I am there and also technically I am there. So I know what to do on skis. And of course, then you have also other competitors that maybe are faster than you and you ski already better than the way you skied when you were winning. But that's sport. You have to work well on every side and be clear with yourself.
God, you're really smart. Like, it just seems like you have it to, like, you've got a pretty good understanding of what specifically you need. Are you someone that's, like, you're kind to yourself, you're empathetic with yourself,
I am too much demanding. This really? Is my biggest strength, but also my weakest point. You know how you say in America, you are as strong as your weakest link. So that's mine. I am so fucking demanding with myself. I always want more and I feel like I'm not enough. And then I win this race and I feel a little bit better. But the most common mistakes that athletes do in their career is that they put the value of their self as a person in what they reach with the sportive goal.
Yeah.
And then if you feel bad as a person before, and then you have the illusion of yourself that you will be a good one by winning, and then you win and you're happy, and then you recognize, oh, I'm the same person as before. Then you go out, you freak out.
It's the saying, skiing is what you do, not who you are.
Yeah, and but it is expression also of yourself. And so I'm really demanding, and it's good from some side, but from the other, sometimes I'm really heavy to myself. I say, Sophia, stop. Stop, because you did everything, and everything you could, you made it, and be happy with this.
How do you take, you mentioned that you like to be, you know, you corrected me and said, I want you to think no further ahead than today. How long do you carry a shitty day? Like, so if you had a bad day
for me
yesterday, really, a week ago, how do you get rid of it?
It's really hard. It's really hard because I'm really demanding. If I'm not skiing good and then the other beats me, I know that there are shitty days, but it's hard to accept for me. And so I feel like, ugh, but I know already tomorrow is another chance to be better. So bad days are okay and makes you more appreciate the days in which everything comes easier.
Namaste.
Namaste. But it's hard. It's really hard to deal when you're struggling. It's really hard. You always want to be the best. I get mad if I'm not like skiing the way I want. Or I say to myself, why you didn't do this turn as you know you can do? Because today I just can't. Today I'm just the 80% of my 100%. But giving already the 100% of the 80%, it's the goal of the day. And you have really to accept yourself for who you are in the moment.
It's a lot of math. That's really great. I don't want to keep you much longer, but I wouldn't mind going back just one more time and asking, are you better at celebrating the successes, or are you more prone or more likely, because you're demanding, if you have a not so good day?
Feel the pain. I live more deep, with more deepness, the pain of a day, because I was not myself at the Stargate, rather than the happiness of a race that I win, because this is my job. I suffer more when I cannot express myself, rather than the happiness that I feel like when I win.
All right. That sounds fair. I love that.
Fair, but sometimes it's hard because okay, I win a race and you have another one tomorrow, so you get focused on it and say, okay, I won, thank you, I was good, but let's focus on the other. It's like not enjoying. It's like I just made what I'm here for.
You deserve a lot more high fives.
Thank you.
Like, I think it's a really cruel sport. Like, I think it's really tough. And the hard days come often and they're easy to feel. And they're like, there's a lot there to feel. And I think sometimes when we have these successes, whether they're wins or podiums or just momentum in the right direction, we often push them to the side and we lose a chance to build some momentum.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that's something that you, you know, as you've evolved into the athlete that you are now, and as you look at the next few years of your career, that that's something you're going to have to do more, start celebrating and patting yourself on the back a little bit more?
Maybe you start to enjoy more of the things when you know that the countdown is on. Maybe. But I have so much still to give that my countdown will start in some... I know I'm 29 right now and I'm not going to ski for 4 or 5 seasons more. And it's already a long time. But I really would love to enjoy every single moment. But at this time of my career, I'm living it with the mentality that I have like 5 years ago.
Welcome back. Thank you so much to Sophia for an incredible conversation. It was a real treat. It's now time for us to share our thoughts of the day. Kara, that was pretty fun, huh? What you thinking? What are your thoughts of the day?
I'm still vibrating from that. That was such a fascinating interview. I'm going to be thinking about this one for a while. I think what sticks out to me the most is how Sophia says she needs to constantly work on Sophia, like the girl without the skis, and how she needs to work on her personal structure, as she calls it, to stay at the top and be more consistent. I could really relate when she said that her skiing is like an expression of her character, of who she is and of what she has inside. I feel like she gave us a bit of a glimpse into her Sophia Goggia process. She explained that she has to find the calm to express herself, but that doesn't mean she'll stay calm, because as we all have seen, she is not a calm skier. She says she's not a calm person. In her words, she finds the peace, lets go, and then explodes out of the start gate.
I loved her attitude, and she's so self-aware, huh? Like, Kara, I think she really has a grasp of what makes herself tick.
She's like a unicorn. I'm going to have to listen to this one again and again, because there were so many things about her that surprised me. She really is a different type of athlete. She's the next level. It's just incredible to hear her speak. I really enjoyed it.
Kara, that was so good. Jeff, you're nodding your head. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts of the day?
I'm thinking I'm really bummed that I wasn't part of this interview, Martin and Kara. Like, you guys are so lucky to talk to her, man. She is, you said it, man. She is a beast. And I couldn't agree with what Kara said more. You know, she is so grounded and believes that it's like she believes she was put on this earth to be a ski racer. And she's going to do everything in her power to continue to be a ski racer as long as she can be a ski racer. And she's even, you know, she realizes that it's not infinite, like there's an end date, but she's not thinking about the end date just yet. She's living day to day, and she's going to win at all costs or die trying to beat you.
I love too that she talks so openly about it too, Jeff. Like, she wants to win, she'll talk openly about it. I want to win.
Yeah, no question. And she's, man, oh man, like there's a reason she's got 32 podiums. Like, she is full send, but you know, she talked about how calm she is in the start gate and how she has to like be within herself first and then let everything go and send it down the hill. So just awesome interview. Great job, you guys. Martin, what are your thoughts of the day?
For me, I'm impressed with how tough she is. Like, going through all of these injuries, it's one thing, but she barely even talked about him. Like, we tried to ask her about him, and she kept putting him sort of in the back burner. And not once did she even for a second, like, give the glimpse of sounding sorry for herself at all. And I think with that kind of track record, you could, but she just is so focused on going forward. She's talking about how healthy she is, and I love that. I love her grit and her persona and her directness with the goals, but also the rest of her personality. And I think when I think of the quintessential female skier, she's kind of what it's supposed to be. She's strong, she's resilient, she's competitive, and she's happy. And that's a really lethal combination. So I'm really excited to see what she does in the near future. And she's a big gamer. So anytime that she steps in the gate, you'd be silly to count her out. So thank you again to Sophia Goggia. Thank you all for listening. We encourage you to share your thoughts of the day with us at thenextturnpodcast.com/thoughts. That's it for us this week. We'll see you next week on The Next Turn.